Welcome to Authors on Tour Live, a podcast for people who love to hear about books from the authors themselves.
We're at the Authors Studio at Book Expo America 2011 in New York City, and we're speaking with author Amanda Havard. She has written a book called The Survivors. Hello, Amanda.
Hi.
Now, this story is born out of the Salem witch trials of 1692, yet it's set in modern day, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Tell me a little bit about the plot.
The plot is sort of the idea that we get a setup in our prologue of the whole series that 14 kids were accused as witches in the Salem witch trials and exiled and survived. And they've been in hiding in Montana ever since. And one of their descendants wasn't so pleased in hiding life. So she's gone out to live among humans, and you sort of follow her story and mishaps and really a somewhat dark quest for mortality.
I'm always curious as to why an author picks his or her subject. What was it about the Salem witch trials that intrigued you?
So I knew I wanted to write a young adult supernatural story, and I really love rooting it in history and mythology when I get a chance, and that was really it was a priority for me. So I wanted to find an event in history that had a supernatural tone to it, but had a lot of unanswered questions, so I could maybe answer some of those questions with my story. And so the Salem witch trials was a natural place to start for me.
You really do a wonderful job with your character descriptions. They're very intimate. They're very intricate. You've been critically acclaimed for those, haven't you?
So far, yes. It's been really great. And for me, there's probably nothing more important than connecting to my characters. I mean, that's really, as a reader, that's what gets me through a story. Even if I'm not gripped to the plot, if I'm gripped to the characters, I'll stick with it. And for as a writer, it's most important for me that you buy into my characters. And this is the first in a 5-book series, actually. And so, really, if you don't care what's going on with my characters, then you probably won't care that long. But it's been really great to hear from reviewers that they've connected to the characters, and especially to Sadie, my protagonist, and that they really enjoy reading the story through her eyes.
This is the first in a 5-book series.
Yes.
So you already know there are going to be 4 more after this.
I've already written the second one and researched the rest.
Wow. And you use multiple platforms, which is also very impressive. You almost have to these days, don't you?
I think you do. And, you know, when I had a vision for the story, and especially the way we wanted to put it out, we really kept going back to a transmedia approach. So I've done a couple of things that authors usually haven't done. For one, like I said earlier, I really want you to connect to my characters. And so the timeline of the story that happens in real time doesn't start till this summer. But my characters, some of them have been tweeting, have their own Twitter accounts, and have been tweeting for 2 years. So you can go get background on their story. And then once the storyline starts, and as people are already reading it now, you get fans to follow them and ask questions or interact. Or you get this little bonus content you wouldn't have otherwise. We also wanted to give, whole different points of media to connect to. So I wrote original songs for the book, and they're coming out as singles every couple of months now that we're out. The first one was recorded by Chris Mann from Glee. And it's as basically from one of our love interests to our protagonist. The next song has been recorded by an up-and-coming singer-songwriter named Jess Moskaluk, who she recorded a song called Breaking for us that's coming out this summer. So we're really trying to tap into different parts of pop culture. My characters are into fashion. There's a lot of realism in the story. You can drive on the roads they're driving on, in the cars they're driving on. You can look at the magazines they're looking at or listen to the songs they're listening to. You can really connect and sort of the survivors can really become a sort of immersive experience of storytelling.
So back to the plot. 14 of these young ladies are accused of being witches.
Mm-hmm. Not just ladies. Not,
okay. Boys and girls are accused of being witches in 1692, yet they are living in current times. How do they connect with what's going on currently?
So that's a great question. For the most part, they don't. And that's part of why Sadie, again, the protagonist, left. The idea is that these are clearly immortal, or until proven otherwise, men and women, or young men and women, and they believe strongly that they are not witches or were not anything that would have made them, they were sort of unjustly accused, and they didn't know that they were anything above and beyond normal when they were exiled. And so for them, there's a lot of that puritanical faith that, oh, we must have been chosen to survive, there must be a reason. And so they call themselves the survivors because of that. And that's, they don't refer to themselves as witches or supernaturals or anything, they're just survivors because they've been chosen. And Sadie doesn't buy it. And so she had started actually 20 years before she ever sort of left her family, sneaking out and reading books at a local bookstore in a tiny town called Big Fork, Montana, that is there. I love it. And she would come back in and slowly start seeing that there was so much of a different world out there, and really a different experience out there, wars and love and things that she wasn't seeing inside this crazy little puritanical village she was living in.
Give me one thing that the kids have the most trouble acclimating to in the 21st century.
Wow, that's a big question. I think for Sadie specifically, it's human. It's not even just 21st century, it's human emotion. She, one of her supernatural abilities is that she can sense emotion. So every time she sees a boy that likes her, or she's interacting with someone who doesn't like her, or is, you know, sizing her up, she can feel all of that. And it's just, she comes from a place that's very sort of quiet and isolated. And to go into a crazy busy world or walk down the streets of Manhattan and feel everything everyone is feeling about themselves toward her, I think it's pretty hard for her to acclimate to.
Now, your series has been compared very favorably to the Twilight series. That's kind of nice, huh?
Yes, it's been great. I think it's a real compliment, especially by the people who have made that comparison are huge fans and reviewers who were stuck with Twilight all the way through and really loved it. And there's a supernatural family she comes across in the story called the Winters, and they have been compared to the Cullens. And not to say that they're so similar, but just that you could fall for them the way you could the Cullens is what I've heard and we've seen in reviews. And it's been very flattering for me. I just, you know, that is a full on phenomena, and I'm thrilled to be compared to it.
Once again, the book is called The Survivors. It's the first in a 5-book series. The author is Amanda Havard, and Amanda, I'd wish you a lot of luck, but it sounds like you've already found it. Congratulations on the success.
Thank you so much. It was great to be here.